It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. And thank you for joining us. Each of you are treasured. You're valued. You have purpose. Live with intention and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this time and you have a purpose. So thank you so much for joining me. And thank you to the great team I work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Thursday to you, producer Steve.
Happy to you, Thursday to you, boss. If I could just get my mouth to work. You know, I come here and I'm by myself for 2 hours. I need to really talk to myself to wake up my mouth.
I'm concerned that people might report you for doing that, though, Steve.
Well, there's nobody here to witness it.
Okay. But we have this great team that we get to work with, and we put out an awful lot of information, always searching for truth and clarity on these issues. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And we've got a great show planned for you today. In segments 3 and 4, we'll be talking with David Horowitz. And you know him. He is one of the most important conservative voices out there, shedding light on so many things that are going on. And he has a new book out, The Enemy Within, so we'll be talking with him in segments 3 and 4 on that. Be sure and check out our America's Veterans Stories show on Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM. And it is the 79th anniversary of the Doolittle Raid in World War II. And we'll be talking with Jimmy Doolittle's granddaughter. So a great show planned for you on Sunday. The girls were over last night, Steve. We had a great conversation.
Yeah, I heard you. And the and the police sirens, too.
Oh, yeah. Right, right. But I changed it up just a little bit. I ordered the barbecue shrimp from Hooters, and it was delicious. And there's 5 locations for Hooters restaurants: Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. They have all kinds of specials, but always like to just have them help me cook when I'm having people over. And they have all kinds of specials. So check that out at my website as well. Our quote for today, Steve, I thought let's just go directly to David Horowitz. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Remember, socialism ultimately comes down to force because people don't really like the idea. And people think that socialism is about free stuff with all of this money that's appearing in people's accounts right now. They think that this is what socialism is. That is not really socialism. Socialism is ultimately control of all industry, and they need workers for that. So at some point in time, the free lunch will be over. And if you don't deliver for that free lunch, that's where you start to see that force come in, Steve.
Well, okay, read the quote, and I wonder if it's a good segue into this editorial cartoon that I sent you earlier today.
Okay. Now, David Horowitz, he grew up as a red diaper baby with communist parents. That's what red diaper means, is the parents were communist. And he was part of the new left in the 1960s, but then, and I'm going to ask him about that, he became a conservative and supporter of Reagan in the 80s, and then he has become this important voice for conservatism, the American idea. And this is what he said: the founders were not Democrats and socialists, but conservatives who had a healthy distrust of political passions and who devised a complex system designed to frustrate the schemes of social redeemers and others convinced of their own invincible virtue.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Their own invincible virtue. I think that describes a healthy percentage of the people down at the Golden Dome.
Oh, my gosh, for sure. And we'll talk about the bill of the day in just a moment. But, yeah, you had sent over this cartoon, which is pretty. Why don't you tell us about it just a little bit?
It's an editorial cartoon, and I'll save the actual year that it showed up for last. But it's basically just a picture of a writer, let's say, and he's making a sign, and it says "Plan of Action for U.S. Spend, spend, spend." Under the guise of recovery, bust the government, blame the capitalists for the failure, junk the Constitution, and declare a dictatorship. This cartoon was in the Chicago Tribune in 1934.
So that is why those that are spending now don't want us to know history. And I think we also take comfort in knowing that what is happening now is happens throughout history. That's why the founders, again, going back to the quote, they realized that we had to have a healthy distrust of those that are elected by us, or I don't want to call them leaders. They're not leaders. They're supposed to be representatives. But let's go over to Bill of the Day. And this is Senate Bill 21-103. And the radical activist regressives that have taken over the Democrat Party, and I am convinced that we in Colorado are at the tip of the spear, that we are the petri dish for everything. And these people that have been elected, I'm looking at the names. These are Senators Fenberg and Winter. When they get elected, they have the D behind their name. And so for so many years, the idea that Democrats were for the working people and they cared about everyday people, that's the narrative that I think a lot of people that still vote Democrat think. But my gosh, you look at these policies, they don't give a flying rip about any people. Their religion, where they bow down, is to climate change, environmental issues. They don't care about people. And you can see this. And it seems somewhat innocuous. The Sunset Office of Consumer Counsel. Oh, my gosh, if you're an everyday hardworking person, you look at that and you go, what does it matter? But John Caldera really pretty well nailed it. But the bill summary says it's basically a sunset of this consumer council that was supposed to happen in 2020, and it extends it. But this is what John Caldera said. He said, imagine you're called into court. The prosecutor is paid to get you punished. We all get that. Now imagine the law changed so that the judge's job is also to get you punished. And finally, imagine if your defense lawyer has to work against you. And that is really what is happening to Colorado ratepayers. Is now, it used to be that the Public Utility Commission, their job was to keep prices down. Again, this is from Caldera's piece. He says, but wait, that's no longer the PUC's goal. A few years back, the PUC changed its mission to environmental protection, but you know, in a cost-effective way, of course. And then going on down here, it says Senate Bill 103, sponsored by Stephen Fenberg and Faith Winter, would change the mission of the OCC from protecting your wallet to promoting environmental activism. It would require OCC to work on statutory decarbonization goals, just transition, and environmental justice, rather than the cost when deciding to fight a rate increase. Ultimately, and this is very regressive, it hurts people most at the bottom of the economic ladder, those that are trying to go up the economic ladder and do better for themselves and their families. And then one other article I just wanted to mention, we are forcibly closing coal-fired power plants, which that is reliable, efficient, abundant, and affordable energy. And forcibly, we're closing those plants and moving people over to things that are unreliable, and that is wind and solar, which has to rely on fossil fuels. But this is going to cost consumers $1.4 billion. And where is that money going to come from? It's going to come right from your pocket. And all of this is happening down, and Xcel is super cozy with the PUC. It's really, they're all really cozy with the radical activist Democrats down at the governor's office and at the Golden Dome. And ultimately, these energy costs become more expensive, but when it's not reliable, it'll also really affect our homes and our businesses. Steve, any quick comment before we get over to Karen Levine?
Well, you mentioned the premature shuttering of these coal plants, and all I want to say is, as a consumer, here's your guidelines, guys, girls. You want to shut down X amount of megawatts at this plant, then I want to see X amount, that same X amount of megawatts coming to me in some other form that is reliable. I mean, I want a one for one.
And affordable, too.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Mm-hmm. And this is irresponsible, what is happening. And these radical activists, regressives, that have taken over the state house. And again, Colorado is the petri dish for all of this. And we do need to be contacting them and just letting them know our displeasure about this. But we also need to be contacting the people that are standing against that, our Republicans that are standing against that as well. But let's move over to Karen Levine. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, and it is the spring selling season in Colorado. I am seeing houses come up for sale. Karen, you and I talk all the time. It's been public policy that has actually made housing supply so limited. We've got to work ourselves back out of it. But what are you seeing for this particular season?
Well, things are very active and very positive as far as we are seeing homes coming on the market, and we're seeing homes go under contract. Just in the last 7 days, there were over 1,200 homes come on the market in the Front Range, but there were close to 2,200 homes go under contract, go pending. So we are selling whatever stock is available in our marketplace, which means days on market keeps shrinking. And then we talk about affordability. The average and median home prices along the Front Range continue to increase. And then you talk about this energy situation. What do you think the cost of housing is going to look like? That all is affecting affordability in our homes. And it's heartbreaking for our young people who are trying to get a foothold and start building wealth. But the good news is, myself and my team have been super successful getting buyers into homes, but not just any home, but the right home. And it's been fun out there and challenging.
Well, and Karen, you really have made it your passion to protect private property rights, to protect home ownership. You serve on the National Board of Realtors. What's that actual title? I always get that mixed up. It's the National Board of Realtors Director.
It's the National Association, the National Association of Realtors. We have 1.5 million members throughout the United States and a few abroad that have joined forces for private property rights. And I'll be excited to report in May how the legislative meetings go, because we hear what's happening in Colorado. It'll be interesting to hear what's happening in Washington that's affecting private property rights and housing, because the shortage of inventory is not just happening here in the Front Range or in Colorado. It is happening nationwide. So we know that we've caused policy to limit the amount of housing and the affordability of housing.
Well, and next week, it's a little paragraph in this big infrastructure bill. Biden is going after single-family zoning. You're going to be in studio co-hosting next week, and we're going to have a conversation about that. Because once again, when you start to limit, when you use policy, that's another force word. And we want to make sure that we protect home ownership and private property rights. So we'll have a great conversation about that next week, Karen.
Well, I am looking forward to that. And in the meantime, should anyone have questions about the housing market, my phone is available and ready to be answered. And you can reach me at 303-877-7516. I'd probably suggest you wait till closer till 8 o'clock on any given day, because it might not make sense. But today I'm making pretty good sense, so.
That is for sure. And again, that number is 303-877-7516. And Karen, look forward to you being in studio next week.
Excellent, Kim. Thank you.
And we're going to go to break. When we come back, something historic happened down in Douglas County. Kudos to the commissioners there, and that is Commissioner Laura Thomas, Commissioner Abe Layden, and Commissioner George Teal. Commissioner Thomas will be with us when we come back. You won't want to miss it.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Commissioner Laura Thomas. And she's a commissioner here in Douglas County. And she and her fellow commissioners, Abe Layton and George Teal, did something that I find very exciting. Douglas County is opening up. Commissioner Thomas, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
It is so exciting what has happened. And tell us, all of our listeners want to know what's happening in Douglas County.
Governor Polis decided to devolve the dial as of Friday, April 16th, and gives control back to the local government. So Tri-County Health decided last week, the Board of Health decided that they knew better and that they were going to take control of the dial for another 30 days for Adams, Arapahoe, and Douglas counties. Douglas County Commissioners had negotiated an agreement with Tri-County that if they made any public health orders that we disagreed with, we could opt out. So that's what we did on Tuesday. We approved a resolution that says we are no longer going to be part of the dial with Tri-County Health. So on Friday, April 16th, businesses, churches, gyms, everything in Douglas County will go back to normal. There'll be no distancing. There will be a mask requirement because the governor is keeping control of that until May 3rd.
Well, this is really exciting. I remember we're past the one-year anniversary of the 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And I remember also when the commissioners had done this negotiation with Tri-County Health. Now, Is Douglas County still going to be part of Tri-County Health, or has a decision been made on that, or where are we at on that?
Because the funding for Tri-County Health is so complicated, there is no way for us to have our own health department until January of 23. And that is what we negotiated with Tri-County Health, that Douglas County will stay with them until at least January of 2023. But I suspect that the commissioners will come up with a solution to have our own health department after that. But that particular decision has not yet been made.
Well, and you were making a presentation just recently where you gave the numbers of how much money Tri-County, what their budget is. I was a bit astounded. Tell our listeners about that.
The annual budget for Tri-County Health is $44 million. Douglas, Arapahoe, and Adams County only contribute $11 million. So that other $33 million is made up with federal grants, state grants, and cash funding. And those federal grants are complicated two-year cycle projects, and that's why Douglas County needs 2 years to get set up to have our own health department.
Laura, do you know, did all these health departments get a big windfall through this whole COVID thing? I've been very frustrated about these local health departments having so much power over our businesses and over our lives. And now they have a lot of money, obviously, to have that power and control. Did they get a windfall? Has their budget grown during this whole COVID thing?
Absolutely, it has. They have received millions of extra dollars to provide contact tracing and testing and It's been a significant amount of money they have received.
And again, I'm concerned about that. That's kind of a different conversation, though. Let's go back to Douglas County. Basically, we're open, except there is this mask mandate from Governor Polis. Am I getting that correct?
That's 100% correct. The governor is going to keep the mask mandate in place until at least May 3rd. He could extend it. We don't know what he is going to do then. And the only other caveat is if you are an unseated event, you are capped at 500 people. But I bet when the baseball game gets here in July, that'll be different too.
Oh, I bet that will be different. Now, one other thing, different cities and towns in Douglas County, can they choose to do something different?
They can choose to be more restrictive, but they cannot choose to be less restrictive. And frankly, I'm not sure what they could do to be less restrictive.
For sure. I am so concerned. My town has been very restrictive. And I've been super concerned, Laura Thomas, about the number of restaurants that have closed in my city. And some of those businesses won't be coming back. The damage that has been done over the last year has been of significant concern to me, Laura.
Well, that is a good concern, but let me just point out that Tony Kovaleski did a story last month that showed that the average amount in CARES funding that the Front Range restaurants got was about $30,000. In Douglas County, it was $90,000. We pushed much more funding back to our businesses, and we did not get anywhere near the amount of CARES funding. Douglas County only got $30.1 million. Adams County got $90 million. So we have done everything we can to help our businesses because we know they are the backbone of our economy.
They really are. And Laura Thomas, we've got just a couple of minutes left. What are the kind of the final thoughts that you would like to leave with our listeners this morning? We're talking with Commissioner Laura Thomas from Douglas County.
My fellow commissioners and I have long wanted to get out from underneath these restrictions. This was the first opportunity that we had to do so without putting businesses at risk. Governor Polis has a fleet of revenue officers, and any town or county that tried to opt out of his draconian methods had these revenue agents show up, threaten, and even they did take business license and liquor license away from businesses that didn't play by the rules. So the threat was very real, and that's why the commissioners did not open the county up sooner, even though we wanted to.
And Laura, thank you. Thank you for doing this. One other thing from a political standpoint, and this is subjective, and so let me know whether or not you want to comment, but as we get closer to the Major League Baseball game, I think Colorado will be less restrictive. In fact, we even saw Mayor Hancock is starting to reduce some of the restrictions there in Denver, but my gosh, they've had such a heavy hand. But I think that we probably won't see any draconian things happen between now and the game. I just can't see that happening. Do you want to make a comment on that?
Well, I would agree with you. And, you know, I just want to just point out that we did not, the commissioners didn't make this decision blindly. We've looked at data in states like Florida and Texas that have been open, and their numbers aren't any worse than ours. So let's let adults make decisions for adults and their families.
Right. And one other thing, Laura, you said if a restaurant or a business wants to continue to require social distancing and masks, they can do that. People can choose to go to that particular establishment. And if people don't want to do that, an owner doesn't want to do that, then people can choose to go to that establishment. I've always thought the free market was the answer to this. Commissioner Laura Thomas, thank you so much. So appreciate it.
Thank you, Kim. You're right on when you talk about the free market. God bless you all.
Okay, thank you. Hey, Jason McBride, soon you're going to be able to go to a restaurant and sit right next to your friends, right here in Douglas County.
Gosh, if I had any, that'd be exciting to me.
That is for sure. I'm really pleased with the commissioners of Douglas County to get us open and let people, again, make the choices for their lives. And that's what you'd help people with, Jason, is people making decisions about their lives and their economic well-being. What's this crazy market doing?
Well, the market's been, just kind of slowly rising for the last couple of weeks. The NASDAQ is within a stone's throw of a new all-time high after it came down a little bit. While, you know, the Dow and the S&P have been making new highs, small caps, boy, they were lagging for many, many years, and they've also made a very nice move up. So it feels like, you know, the tech kind of took a little bit of a pause. Some of the air came out of the balloon of some of the craziest stuff that was just way, way, way up high. And to some degree, you know, those balloons are still a little bit floppy. But I'll tell you, the NASDAQ and the tech sector in general seems to be firming up. That combined with the fact that some of the old guard stocks, the blue chip, some of the value stocks, the dividend payers, you know, are also doing well, and it feels like the market is about to start hitting on all eight cylinders again. Now, Kim, you know, that can change very, very quickly, so we never want to get too comfortable, just like you don't get too comfortable with a dog you don't know, because it can bite at any time.
And that is why I would recommend people sit down and do a discovery session with you to assess risks, to assess different options, whether or not to take some profits. How can people reach you, Jason McBride, to do that?
Well, I want to mention that we are also open for business, Kim. You can come in. We can meet face-to-face. We're not going to make you wear a mask in the office. You can if you want to. See, that's freedom. We offer people freedom of choice. But to make an appointment and meet with us, no pressure, no obligation, just give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600, Kim.
Perfect. Jason McBride, we will talk to you tomorrow.
You have a great show.
Thanks so much, and we'll be right back with David Horowitz.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to support this show. As you know, we are an independent voice, and it's the sponsors and your contributions that helps us search for truth and clarity on these issues. And a man that has been searching for truth and clarity for many years is David Horowitz. He is the best-selling author of many books. His most recent is The Enemy Within. And you can get more information about David at frontpagemag.com. Interesting story. He grew up with communist parents. They call those red diaper babies. And he was part of the New Left in the 1960s. And then he became a conservative and a supporter of Ronald Reagan in the 80s. It's a remarkable story. Do I have that timeline generally correct, David Horowitz?
You do. That's exactly right.
You are
for Reagan in 84.
Okay. David Horowitz, you are one of the most important voices in America today. You have been sounding the alarm at what is happening to the American idea, the American dream, and your journey from being a red diaper baby to being one of these important voices is somewhat remarkable. Any comments that you'd like to make to our listeners about that?
Well, I was raised by card-carrying communists, and I was one of the founders of the New Left and edited its largest magazine. And I left the left when I realized that it wasn't about peace and social justice. It wasn't an anti-war movement in regards to Vietnam. It was a hate America left. When the communists came to power in Vietnam and Cambodia, thanks to the efforts of the American left, they proceeded to slaughter 2.5 million Indochinese peasants. There wasn't one demonstration in America against that slaughter. And that showed me what I kind of knew already, because I know these people well, was that the left was a hate America left. Now, I've watched them for the last more than 50 years infiltrate and take over the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party today is a totalitarian movement. I've written this new book, The Enemy Within, how a totalitarian movement is destroying America, to warn Americans of the serious danger that our country now is in. We have a president who hates America. Well, you know, who knows who the president is, who's pulling the strings. But Joe Biden, who's a political whore is what he is now mouthing the anti-American message of the left. The Democrat Party is a racist party. As everybody, you know, just watching them, everything is about race. Everybody who's picked for a cabinet post or whatever, it's always on the basis of their skin color or their gender. Biden, and one of the first things he said when he became president was that systemic racism touches every aspect of American life. This is a monstrous lie. Actually, Americans outlawed systemic racism with the Civil Rights Act of 1964. It's very explicit in outlawing institutional and systemic racism. So if there actually was systemic racism, say, in our police departments, there would be tons of lawsuits. You know, even if you assume that, you know, all whites who disagree with Democrats are racist, there are thousands of black attorneys, there are black district attorneys, black attorney general, black mayors, black city council members, black congresspeople. There would be a tsunami of lawsuits if say, the Minneapolis Police Department were racist. There would be gigantic lawsuits because it's illegal to practice systemic racism. So the Democrat Party is now in the position of our enemies, which is why I call it the enemy within, smearing America as a racist country. And we have this spectacle, which is in the news this week, of this felon in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. This guy had jumped $100,000 bail for an armed robbery. And what was that robbery? He had been at a party, obviously at a friend's house, and she allowed him and his friend, his partner, to sleep over. When they got up in the morning, he took the woman by the throat, pointed a gun at her, and demanded $850, which I guess is, I don't know why it's $850. So this is a violent criminal that everybody's mourning today as though he's some kind of victim of police racism. Meanwhile, they destroyed the 25-year stellar career of this female police officer who obviously panicked. Just this last week, a felon that they were trying to arrest, he got out of his car, and then he jumped back in his car and got a rifle and killed the cop. So what's happening in our country now is it's just reprehensible. And then you have the whole family of this young man who obviously raised him pretty badly, pretending that there's some kind of a racial issue here. Just terrible.
Well, it is. So
my book show. I set up this what they call critical race theory. It's really crackpot racism. Starts off with the premise that all white people are racist by virtue of their skin color. It's kind of a Ku Klux Klan mentality reversed, is what's seized hold of the Democrat Party and what's made it a sponsor of these violent criminal lynch mobs in our city. I don't know what else to call them. They want the verdict first and the punishment, and then you can have the trial.
Yeah, there's no due process on any of this, David Horowitz. And it does sound, I don't know for sure what happened exactly in the suburb of Minneapolis. It does seem to me like the police officer made a mistake. We need to do due process on that, but it's tragic when these
things happen. He was afraid of getting killed, Kim.
Yeah, true.
You know, cops get killed all the time in making these. This guy was resisting arrest. And that's what happens when you resist arrest,
true.
Risk your life. And, I mean, I'm not going to mourn him. I mean, he's a young man. It's too bad. But this is disgraceful, what's going on now. They're going to prosecute the police officer. They lost the police chief. They've lost a honorable city manager who said there has to be due process. It's grotesque. And one of the things is that, you know, we have what's called a cancel culture. It's really a fascist culture. And it's a totalitarian movement that we're facing in the Democrat Party. But cancel culture is fascism. When you ban or take Dr. Seuss off the shelves,
astounding.
That's book burning.
It is book burning. It is.
The 30s. And our language is not up to it. That's why I wrote this book, The Enemy Within. You know, I don't have a corporate job, so it's hard to cancel me.
Well, and I'm so grateful.
I have the license to tell it like it is, and I help people pick up this book and get armed for this battle, because we're within.
We are in it. David Horowitz, and I connected a dot of the enemy within, and that is on Black Lives Matter. This summer, and still I haven't checked it recently, but if you would go to Black Lives Matter and click the contribute button, it would go to Act Blue, was the clearinghouse for your contribution, your donation, which I think was probably tax deductible. And that actually, Act Blue is the big fundraising arm of the Democrat Party. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out.
They're in the White House. Look, where did Biden get that statement that America, every aspect of American life is touched by systemic racism? He got it from Patrice Cullors, this Black Lives Matter woman. I've actually read her book. She's a psychopath. In her mind, only white people can commit crimes. If black people commit crimes, white people made them do it. They got it directly from her. They wrote a letter to Biden and said, you know, we elected you. Now we want you to do A, B, C. And one of them is to make fighting systemic racism a priority. So they're in the White House.
Well, in this, now, did you mention...
Actually, I have an article that is on frontpagemagazine.com. It's called The Biden White House. A diversity of racists and anti-Semites. And then I list all the racists and anti-Semites and show you who they are and why I call them that.
Wow.
In the White House.
Now, did you just use the name, is it Patrice Khan Cullors? Is that who you referred to as the co-founder?
Yes.
Because recently we found that she has been on a $1 million real estate buying binge. And buying very expensive homes in several different locations. And I find that...
Same thing that Castro and the Cuban communists did. Same thing the Nicaraguan communists did. They evicted the rich from their homes and moved into them. these people are all out for themselves. There's nothing about social justice or anything in this movement. I'm just Jason Whitlock, who's a black, very intelligent black sports commentator, has said that the Black Lives Matter movement is a Ku Klux Klan. It's the same ideology, just reversed.
And they're at top levels of government, in media, education, all of these. I now am calling them all industrial complexes. But we're going to go to break. I'm talking with Richard Hurwitz. He is the best-selling author of The Enemy Within. You can get all kinds of information at the website frontpagemag.com. That's frontpagemag.com. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, one of the great sponsors that has our voices out there looking for truth and clarity on these issues is Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. So whether or not you are a chef or a collector, a sportsman, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. I'd recommend that you go and see their actual physical inventory down in Sedalia. But if you can't, check out their website. That's castlegate.com. Castlegate.com. We will be right back with David Horowitz.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show, and be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I have to correct myself. I made a mistake, and I hate to admit that, but I think I referred to David Horowitz, the best-selling author of The Enemy Within, as Richard Horowitz. And I knew a guy named Richard Horowitz, and somehow that was in my brain, David, so I apologize on that. It happens. Okay, we've got this next segment, David, and on it, you said during the break that you have a chapter regarding vaccines, COVID-19. What should people know about that?
Yeah, I tried in this book to give a picture of what's actually happening to our country from the perspective of inside this movement that is now destroying our country. I've gone over the cancel culture, the blacklist. I was used by the left. I gave a speech to an ALEC convention. ALEC is an organization I think it's got 2,000 state legislators, and it's bipartisan, so there was a Democrat there who attacked me. And I mainly berated Republicans for not standing up and fighting. Mm-hmm. But I gave it as an example the fact that we have school systems in California and New York, for example, where the curriculum is written by Black Lives Matter racists and by Muslim Brotherhood jihadists. So this was my sin. It was in one sentence. And these leftists organized a boycott. They got 79 leftist organizations. And Verizon, which was one of the sponsors of this bipartisan I got a standing ovation from the people there, and I must have frightened them. They called for a boycott. They lost probably $100,000 in donations. Then they used this. Ron DeSantis was running, this took place in August, and his campaign for Florida governor was September. The headline in the Huffington Post was, Ron DeSantis gives 4 paid speeches for infamous racist David Horowitz, which is, that's their weapon, to tar people as racist. I've written millions of words. They couldn't find a sentence that was racist in all the millions of words I've written. That didn't matter. All these corporations like Verizon and Dow Chemical, they just withdrew their funding without, you know, looking at the facts. They didn't even look at my speech was up on the web. I said, this is a very dangerous movement. You know, they're after Tucker Carlson and anybody who's an effective conservative. I have done chapters on the Black Lives Matter, the criminal insurrection in the streets, and on the China virus. And if you remember, Trump, right at the outset, said this is a war on all Americans. And, you know, everybody understood that, sort of. If you remember, there were all these calls for unity. We have to work together. Mm-hmm. And Trump did. He sent ventilators to Cuomo in New York, to Newsom in California. But the Democrats focused on using the virus to attack Trump. And infamous, egregious liar, Joe Biden, in the campaign, if you recall, he accused Trump of killing a coronavirus patient. Even though Trump doesn't control one healthcare system in the country, we have a federal system. The mask policies, the lockdown policies, the social distancing policies are all in the hands of the governors of the states, not in Trump's hands. I didn't bother Biden because, you know, he has a corrupt media to cover for him. There has never been a liar scope of Joe Biden in the history of our country. I mean, Trump was accused of being a liar, for exaggerating crowd sizes, which is what all politicians do. Trump made promises to get elected to the American people, and then he kept them. Biden promised he was going to be a moderate. He was going to represent all Americans, Republicans as well as Democrats, and that he was not going to act like a dictator through executive orders. Every one of those was a lie. He got elected by lies. So my book goes through, my book, The Enemy Within, goes through that. And then I know people are concerned about what we can do. But
right.
We're actually my last chapter is called Love Versus Hate, and it's about the 2020 election. And the bottom line is that the people who voted for Trump because they love their country, and they love the fact that Trump is putting America first. And the people who voted for Biden because they hate Trump, because of all the distortions in the media. What Trump has done, and this is where we have our hope, and I believe 80 million people voted for Trump. But even so, he got 10 million more votes. The official count is 75 million. 10 million more votes than he got the first time. No other president in American history has increased his vote total in the second term, not Obama or anybody else.
Actually, Obama, I think Obama's vote totals went down in his second election.
They all went down. All the previous presidents who were incumbents and ran their vote totals. Yeah, I think Obama lost about 4 million votes. But the fact of the matter is that Trump, when I came into the ranks and turned my back on the American haters, the first thing I said was, where's the ground armies? The left has all these organizations. They harass, they boycott, they slander politicians and corporations until they do their bidding, basically. And that's one of the more frightening things is the way they've got corporate America. There's 100 corporations who oppose voter IDs.
Yeah, astounding.
That's the end of our democracy right there.
Mm-hmm.
But Trump, he had, in Butler, just for example, in Butler, Pennsylvania, I looked up their population, 1,240 people in Butler, but he had a crowd of 50,000 during the campaign. He has created a mass patriotic movement. I think that's where hope for the future lies.
David Horowitz, I'm wondering if that is why it's almost been like warp speed once Biden was inaugurated, just this assault on all of the very good things that Trump had done. I mean, we're seeing now that Iran is looking at enriching their uranium across the spectrum.
Yeah, the Israelis are attacking them. They're protecting us. And the Biden administration is funding them and wants to remove their sanctions and so forth. And he's funded these Palestinian terrorists that hate America, the hundreds of millions of dollars to terrorists in the Middle East. Biden, that's one of his first acts. It's just terrible. But yeah, look at what he did on the first, I think it was the first week, 35 executive orders. All of them, the common thread of all of them is spite against Trump. And he blew off our southern border. How can you do that in the midst of a pandemic? They estimate, and it's probably going to be more, 1 million illegals will cross the border through all the holes because he won't finish the fence and because he undid all those agreements that Trump got with the Central American countries to help protect our borders. 1 million illegals will come in. 10% of them will have COVID. That's 100,000 COVID carriers. And you don't see anybody saying that in the media. It's just unbelievable. And that doesn't, include, of course, he's the biggest promoter of the cartels and funder of the cartels, Biden is. It's sex traffickers. It's just horrifying what's happening to these kids who've been lured into the country by Biden and Kamala Harris. It's a disgrace.
Well, what do we do? What do we do, David Horowitz? Because I feel we
organize.
Okay.
Take back the schools. Our kids are being indoctrinated in racist propaganda in our schools. They're being taught, the white kids are being taught that they have white skin privilege. The only serious skin privilege in America belongs to 5 groups of people of color. If you're a Sri Lankan, you're not part of the designated affirmative action groups. But, if you're black, you go to the head of the line for a job, the head of the line to get into a university, the head of the line for a promotion. You qualify for all kinds of handouts just on the basis of your skin color. And that's one of the first things Biden announced. He's going to bail out small businesses if they're not white, but not white small businesses.
That's racist. It's just racist. Oh, my gosh.
It's totally racist. But it's the same thing as, medical. We're going to give vaccines to black people first. There are states like Massachusetts where their overt policy is to put people of color in the front of the line. You might ask yourself, they turn everything into racism. It's racism that blacks are more vulnerable to the virus. No, it isn't. It's because of obesity. Blacks, and you can go up on the internet and just put in, obesity by groups. You'll find that blacks are the most obese group in America. 80% of blacks are obese. And obesity is one morbidity factor. It causes high blood pressure. That's the second comorbidity factor. And it also causes diabetes, being overweight. I think it's also that 80% of all COVID deaths are obese people. It's just the reality. But the left is using race to destroy this wonderful political arrangement that the founders created. You know, the Constitution of the United States does not use the words. The words black and white do not appear, neither the male or female. And that's because the founders were dedicated that everybody should be equal and should be regarded on their merits as individuals and not on the basis of skin color or gender.
Well,
it took a long time to achieve that, but now it's taking a very short time to destroy it.
Well, David Horowitz, thank you so much for joining us. And as George Washington referred to what you just described, it is the glorious cause. And our quote for today, my friends, is from David Horowitz. He said, "Liberalism teaches those who have fallen behind in the economic scramble to blame others for their failure. This attitude stimulates juices of resentment and deprives its holders of the power to change their condition." So, my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.